encouragement this afternoon to see those who have come. We trust you won't be disappointed. I would like to read in the book of the Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing in the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In chapter 9, and verse 1, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Street, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scaled. And he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and saying, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he may bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Now that's all we'll read, because the Lord got a blessing to the reading of his word. The individual we have in mind this afternoon is very well known to us. We have read of Saul of Tarsus, and as we know him as the Apostle Paul. The first two things I would like to say about Saul, as we find him in Acts chapter 7. Had anyone looked upon him with coats lying at his feet, when a man of God was being stoned to death, they would have said, that man will never get God's salvation. Saul of Tarsus would have been a write-off. Maybe there's someone in your mind that you think is a write-off. But we learn this little lesson. God can save and deliver our write-off. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's something we learn right in the very surface. When we come to Acts chapter 9, we read that, and we learn that in persecuting the saints or the believers, he was persecuting the people of God. That's very solemn and searching to us. That reminds us that we persecute the saints. We're not only persecuting them, we're persecuting the one that purchased them and purchased us by his own blood. So these are two lessons right in the surface that we learn about Saul of Tarsus. And what I have in mind in reading these few verses is simply this. We have read of Saul of Tarsus before conversion. We have read of him at conversion. And we have read of him after his conversion. Now we all had a past before conversion. And every person is saved, we have a time of conversion. And then we have an after our conversion to God. Saul of Tarsus before conversion, he was a persecutor. That is, he had no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no love for his people. He was injurious. That is, he despitefully used the people of God. He was also a blasphemer. Blasphemed that worthy name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God in mercy singled him out and saved him by his grace. Perhaps this conversion of Saul of Tarsus would rank second to the wondrous person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he was reached and saved. Yet Saul of Tarsus was very religious. Very zealous in his religion. Saul of Tarsus went to Bible school. He was brought up the feet of a man by the name of Gamaliel, a teacher of the law. He was a Benjamite. As far as this life was concerned in religion, he had everything right at his fingertips. He had all these things that were required. But yet, he needed something. He needed a new birth. Before conversion, he hated the people of God, but after conversion, he loved everyone that loved the name
of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now we trust that characterizes you and characterizes me this afternoon. Before God saved us, we hated God and the things of God. But yet born again, that's what it is, that's what it means. To be born again, to be saved by sovereign grace. And that's Paul before our soul of Tarsus, before his conversion. Did he deserve salvation? No, he didn't. Did you? Did I? Only by the grace of God. God looked down upon us in all our need. And he pitied us and saved us by his grace. Now we find Saul of Tarsus before conversion. That was his character. But thank God, there was a time that he could look back to around noon on the Damascus Road when a great transaction took place. It was a happy day in his life whenever he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Now we mention that Saul had a time when he had a place where and a manner how he was reached and saved. You know, as we meet people, there's many things that we learn and gather from them. Sometimes when we preach this, we find opposition, even from those who profess to be saved. We know that salvation, at least we trust we know, you don't glide into salvation. And we were not always saved. We had a before. We had a point of conversion. And then there's the afterward. I remember Brother Hull and I had meetings in Sydney and Nova Scotia. We were asked to visit an old sister who was 95 years of age in a senior citizen's home in New Waterford. We went there one afternoon and the administrator met us at the door. And she asked us who we were. We told her. We were having gospel meetings in the Sydney Gospel Hall. We wanted to see Mrs. Lonas. She said, "All right, follow me." We went upstairs and went into this little room. There lay an old lady propped up with three pillows. We went in and the administrator said, "Mrs. Lonas, there's two men here to see you today. They're gospel preachers preaching the gospel in the Sydney Gospel Hall. And they've come out to see you." With that long hand, she put the administrator aside. She pointed to me. She says, "Young man, are you saved?" I was young in those days. I said, "Yes, Mrs. Lawrence. Thank God I'm saved." But the administrator said, "But Mrs. Lawrence, these men are preaching the gospel in the Sydney Gospel Hall. That's where she had been in fellowship for years. Was that not the password to heaven? Not for Mrs. Lawrence." "And that won't do." After she had finished with me, the administrator left. She pointed to Mr. Hull. He says, "Young man, are you saved?" Well, we told her how we got saved. Both of us. And she looked at us. She pointed again. She said, "Young man, are you sure?" "Yes, Mrs. Lonas. Thank God we're sure. We're on the rock. We're depending on Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross." But here's what she said. She said, "Young man, I've been around a long time. I'm 95 years of age. I was saved in Ireland as a girl of 11. She says, "I've met many people, and they told me they were saved. But she said, they fell out by the way." She says, "Young man, are you sure you're saved?" Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he had a beginning before conversion. Then he had a conversion. And then he had an afterward. He had an after conversion. Now what's Saul's conversion? 12 o'clock noon on the Damascus Road. The Lord Jesus Christ met him miraculously. There were no gospel preachers there at that time. But God had spoken to that man. God had been dealing with him. When those folks lay asleep, when he saw Stephen stoned to death, by that man's face shone, how he had heard him say, lay not this sin to their charge. There were deep impressions made on Saul of Tarsus. Now, people that get saved in a series of meetings, usually it's not the series of meetings in which they're stirred. God is working in their hearts beforehand. You and I don't know them. Maybe someone that you have written off. Maybe someone that I think, will they never be saved? Isn't it good of God? Couldn't God come in? As he has done oftentimes and surprise us. Many of us here today have been surprised. Some thought we would never be saved. Even the unsaved. I went to Ireland a few years ago. I met one of the old boys I used to play cards with. Boy, he said, Bingham, I never thought they would get you. He said, you know, I thought that you were one of us. But he said, they got you in the end. Oh, I said, Jim, they didn't get me. I said, it was the Lord Jesus Christ drew me. The wondrous cross in which he died. The blood that was shed that I trusted. That's what drew me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Saul of Tarsus was captured. He was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. A light from heaven shone round about him. He fell to the earth. The Lord says, he said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Saul of Tarsus actually saw the Lord Jesus Christ in person. We learn that from one of his epistles, Corinthians. He said, last of all, he was seen of me also. Saul saw a crucified, risen, glorified Savior. That sight, chapter 22, he says, when I could not see for the glory of that light. Saul saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw his glory. What was his desire in life? That Christ might be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Saul was captivated. He was captured. Then he was captivated. What constrained him? I say it's the love of Christ constraineth me. Christ's love to him couldn't understand it. His love for Christ was so small compared with Christ's love to him. What about us this afternoon? Ah, the love of the Savior for you and for me. May God help us and use us that we might magnify him in our bodies, whether by life or by death. I like to read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, I'm now ready to be offered. The ropes in the wharf are about to be loosed. My little ship is going out into the great ocean of eternity. He says, I'm ready. What else matters when it comes to the end? But to be ready. The Lord Jesus Christ captivated him. The Savior conquered him. He surrendered. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Willing to lay us all upon the altar. What wilt thou have me to do? I've heard people after they get saved saying what they were going to do. Not so Saul of Tarsus. He says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's it. Not what I want to do, but what you want me to do. Is that your attitude? Is that my attitude today? And this all took place at his conversion. It wasn't years afterwards. It was right to the Damascus Road. Then he was controlled by the Spirit of God. What will they have me to do? Go into the city, and it shall be told thee. Told thee what thou must do. You'll be going to tell me? Is that your attitude and mine? Ah. He went into the city, and a disciple named Ananias, not very prominent, was sent to him with the message of God. But he didn't want to go at the first. And then the Lord told him he was a chosen vessel, this man saw. So Ananias went. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way has sent me. You know, it's a blessing just to be sent of God. To be sent to a sinner that will get God's salvation. I lived here in Richmond many years ago. I worked for a man when we came from this part of the world first. And we used to speak to him about his soul. He used to laugh at us. But he told me an incident that impressed me. When he was in the 1418 war, he was lying in a trench. And he said, I was sleeping, and I just turned around. Where my feet was, that's where I put my hand. And my feet went to where my head was. And he said, just as soon as I had done that, there was a shell exploded at my feet. That's where my head was only a few seconds before. Well, I thought God has been good to you in sparing your life. Surely he had a purpose in doing it. Mr. Albert Ramsey and Mr. Sidney Maxwell started gospel meetings in Woodland. I asked this man to go with me. He said, I will. I said, I'll pick you up at 20 minutes later. I went that first night to pick him up. His wife came to the door. She said, you're looking Bill. I said, yeah. He said, he's not here. He left about half an hour ago. I didn't know he was expecting you. Oh, I said, I'll get in touch with him. I met him Monday. Invited him back again to the meeting. He didn't go Sunday night. He said, his phone is at 7. Phone him at 7. Landed 20 minutes late. He promised to be there to pick him up. He wasn't there. Right, said Bill, I don't know where he's gone. I did that for about 3 weeks, every night. I got the same story every night. Some of my dear brethren and sisters took me aside and I just said, you're wasting your time. He's not going to go. There's a prayer meeting, a Bible reading here on Wednesday night. There's a Sunday night gospel meeting. But thank God, I went. For 3 weeks, every night. I phoned him at 7. He promised me to be ready at 20 minutes late. When I got there, he wasn't there. One night I went. Unbelieving believers. I didn't really expect him. But he came walking out of the house all dressed up. He said he was afraid to see me. Well, I was. I said, I am. But I thought you'd come Sunday, at least once. We went that night. All was well filled. No seats in the back. He landed right in front of me. He says, how'd you get me away up here? Well, he listened to the gospel. After the meeting, we went out for Mushroom Burger at the right spot. Coffee. I said, Bill, I'll be back tomorrow night for you. He said, you better phone before you come. Well, I said, I can phone, but I'm coming anyway. I phoned him at 7. He said he was there. He started to come every night. I didn't preach to him after the meeting. He got enough in the meeting.
From going home one night with a bright plan.
I said, Bill, do you ever think of getting saved? He said, pull over onto that street lamp. He pulled over onto the street lamp and he got out of track.
He said, that man at the door gave me that last night.
On the back of the track was John 5 and 24. He says,
after I got home, and everything was flat, he says, I read that verse.
And he says, I saw from it
that Christ died for me.
Well, is that salvation?
It is. About 2.5 years later, I went to the Burnaby Hospital to see him.
He'd been in there for an operation for cancer.
And he was sitting holding his chest.
When he saw me, he said, you know, I thank God 1,000 times this day that I settled it when I did. Anybody you know not see? No surrender. Pray for them. Weep about their soul. There's nothing worse could happen to any person than to die in their sin.
And arrive in hell to be there forever. May it touch your heart.
Saul of Tarsus got God's salvation. Then after salvation, after conversion, this man was changed. Completely changed. That's what conversion is. A right about turn. The old life finished with religious life, he didn't say we used to do this over there. No. He forgot it all. He cut the ropes. He got a new master. He got new desires.
Well, he was a new creature by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was changed.
Then he had compassion. Used to be persecuted the saints. Now he prays in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He had a compassion for souls. We trust. We'll stir up your heart and mind to have a real love and compassion for poor perishing sinners. Then we free of his contentment. He was content. He says, I've learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You giving me the contented Christian? They make you happy, don't you? Or when you meet one that's complaining,
dear soul that I love,
as a Christian back east, very friendly with my wife and I, but she's always complaining. She read the doctor's book, she had every disease in it. How are you today, Mrs. So-and-so? She said one day to me, have you got an hour? I said, not today. Paul was content. Paul was consecrated. That means having your hands full. He didn't have his hands full for himself. He had his hands full for the Lord. He says, I'm better to the Greeks than barbarians. I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. May these two standing remarks stir our hearts. Give us a view of poor sinners who are as we once were on the broad road on their way to hell. They don't know their danger. They don't feel their load. May God help them to win them for the Savior. For he that winneth souls